in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Oh, man. Interesting take this morning from Pete Thamel at Yahoo Sports. He's got his thoughts on Bob Bowlsby's letter to ESPN yesterday, cease and desist. Pretty lengthy story, but in it he says, second important takeaway is that by sending the letter, Bowlsby in many ways helped galvanize the league, identified clear enemies at ESPN and the departing schools, which would be Texas and Oklahoma, of course. Bowlsby only sent this letter with the presidential support from the remaining schools, which means this will end up bonding the eight schools remaining in the Big 12, and in part of that is due to the distrust of Texas and Oklahoma, which is true. And so, you know, I'm assuming that the other schools are trying to find their place, but as Pete Thamel points out, the Big 12 is owed, between now and 2025, ESPN owes the Big 12 $500 million.
Okay, well, then that's why I asked the question. I asked Brian, is it better to stick around? They owe you money. There's contractually, they owe you still a lot of money. Is it in your best interest to hang on for 4 years and collect that money? But you have to go somewhere. That's why I said, do you want to play football or don't you want to play football? Do you hang in there for that kind of money or do you get the hell out? I mean, that's a lot of money that some places they go, they're not going to get that for 4 years.
Correct.
But you're going to play football after 4 years, right?
For sure. Yeah, but that's, I mean, the contract is the contract. And obviously, Bowlsby's allegations of tortious interference is that ESPN is trying to sabotage that contract, essentially.
Maybe you can go elsewhere and get your money.
No, because if you go elsewhere, you're no longer the Big 12. The Big 12, as a conference, is owned $500 million. Now, the Big 12, I mean, this is the reason legally everything you hear from Texas and the SEC and Oklahoma is, you know, we are planning to join the Southeastern Conference after 2025.
Correct.
Right? So that's the legalese of it. But at the same time, we all know Texas and Oklahoma would like to be in that conference by next year.
You're talking about sticking a pin in your balloon if you had to stay here for four more years.
Well, that's where the buyouts come in. Like, when Texas and Oklahoma can get there, they just have to pay $80 million. They got to pay two full years' worth of rights fees that will be spread around among the other eight schools. But at the same time, ESPN, see, the person you tell them to cease and desist is also the person that owes you the money, and they're your TV partner. And, you know, ESPN has long had a hand in all of this realignment and who goes where and the Game of Thrones chessboard of college football. But at the same time, you know, Bowlsby says he's got him cold that they were talking to three to five of the other Big 12 schools about going to the American Athletic Conference, incentivizing them to do so. And pretty clear Bob Bowlsby not happy with the current situation with Texas and Oklahoma. And the one thing Pete Thamel makes clear, which is true, that what Bob Bowlsby did yesterday is unprecedented. That this has never been aired this publicly. There's always been whispers behind the scenes about the networks, the TV, the money, how they influence what goes on in realignment and how these conferences line up. But no one's ever gone, you know, just complete flamethrower like Bob Bowlsby did yesterday. And I would agree with Pete Thamel on what he said, that this, you don't send that letter without the approval of the eight other Big 12 presidents saying, yeah, we're on board with this. We're going to fight. And whether we're moving on or not, whether we're looking for our long-term future too, we want that money from the University of Texas and the University of Oklahoma.
I can see that.
Yeah. So we said on Monday when the divorce papers are filed, how messy does it get? How much do the other schools fight? They're going to be fighting, it appears, according to Pete Thamel.
So you can actually be held in the air for at least two more years. You can be held in here on to 2023, actually. You can be still playing in this conference in 2 years. You can, 2 years of playing football in the Big 12 still. There's a possibility.
There's, and I think the Texas side, well, we haven't heard anything from the Texas side.
That's true. That's all of us wanting to get out of here in 1 year. That's even heard
well,
a thing from them.
You know, the chairman of the Board of Regents, Kevin Eltife, has been quoted in a couple of reports saying that, you know,
the sooner the better.
Sooner the better. 2021, 22 would be the best, but, you know, 2023 is a backup plan. And it, he's made it, you're indicated that they have the money to pay the $80 million if they need to.
Right.
They'd rather not. They'd rather ESPN absorb that or ESPN help them with that. And, you know, this is the Bob Bowlesby allegation against ESPN.
They don't want to get held up past 1 year.
No. And I don't think...
They don't want to do that.
In truth, I don't think anybody does. And this will be come down to money and negotiations. And I'll tell you this, what Texas doesn't want is a lawsuit where, you know, the president, Kevin L. Type, those guys are under oath where they've got to, you know, you don't want to go there, and their emails are subpoenaed, and text messages are subpoenaed, mm-hmm. and you know, and the last thing you need is a major legal battle.
You mean all those secrets then come out?
Well, I think you went through a divorce at one point.
I did.
Those aren't fun.
Those suck. It's the suckiest thing in the world.
And once it goes to that level, and you know, I think Texas and Oklahoma would hope that it doesn't get that messy. But it is true that the letter sent yesterday is a sign that the eight other schools aren't going to go. Aren't just going to move on and say, you know what, let's just dissolve this thing and find our next spot. I think
no, we need our money.
Yeah, they want the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you have a contract that says you're owed $500 million in the next 4 years. I think you'd try to get a two plus the two schools leaving, oh, yep. Yeah, X amount. So interesting stuff right there. We'll talk more about it. Also, the goings-on at the Olympic Games in Tokyo, as we're 15 hours behind, so a lot has happened. Maybe since you went to sleep last night, including a gold medal for the USA in gymnastics. And the women's all-around, details coming, plus baseball trade deadline. But look at it, it's the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, one of our favorite people in the world. You hear him every Saturday here on the Horn at noon with his show TC Speaks. He's our friend Tyler Campbell. He's got a big event coming up tonight. Tyler, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, y'all. This is a great sports time.
It's,
you know what I mean?
I'm
watching the Olympics like everybody else.
Yeah.
Hey, you were a track and field star, weren't
right.
you, back in the day?
I wish I was, man. My brother Christian was. Christian was lights out. Yeah, he ran track at South Carolina, and so he's somebody who's really excited about the moves being made from the University of Texas because his Gamecocks may get a chance to play, you know, these Longhorns a time or two, save him on some road trips.
I'm glad you mentioned your brother. How is your brother doing?
He's doing good. He's doing great, man. You know, we stand together as family, and so hey, I love him dearly.
Yeah, well, you guys are partners in a lot of things that you do with your father. Hey, what's your dad who's going to be a part of this panel tonight, which I wanted you to tell our audience about and how they're going to be a part of it?
Yeah.
How's your dad, what does he think about this Southeastern Conference thing?
Well, listen, you know, we used to live growing up in the same neighborhood as the swim coach at UT. And so, you know, dad really and truly loved swimming. And he was like, son, do you recognize that within the Big 12, there are usually only about 3 to 4 teams within the conference for everybody to swim against. He's like, now we're going against the SEC. The swim team is going to have somebody every week from the conference. And so he was talking about swimming first, guys, before even going into football. So he's excited about that. And he wants to play the Aggies again, guys. He wants to play the Aggies again. So he's excited. He wants to be in what people say, quote unquote, is the best conference, if that's what they say. He says, we at Texas feel that we are the best. And the only way you know you are the best is if you go up against the best. And so that's what he's excited about.
Hey, before we talk more about your event tonight, Tyler, congratulations on the show. TC Speaks at noon. I mean, you know, we have a lot of good shows on the Horn, I think, but the positivity you bring, the message you give, I know you've got a lot of loyal fans that love it each and every Saturday, and thanks for doing that and bringing, you know, we got a lot of arguments and debates and what we do on the shows, but boy, you bring a breath of fresh air, I think, to folks every Saturday.
Hey, I bring the peace, Buck. Right. B&E, I bring the peace, I guess. You guys are going back and forth all throughout the sports world, and so I come with the peace. But, no, it is a joy, you know. And I think not only me, guys, we have a great show on Saturday, the full lineup at the Horn, you know, with Rev Up, Playing in the Rough, the Big Ugly Tailgate, the Colonel. I'm just glad to be a part of the family, and it's just a joy to be able to have a voice in Austin and, you know, keep bringing about the positivity with my radio show and challenging. So I'm excited.
Well, you are blessed. You have been blessed, and you continue to be blessed, and you're doing all the right things, not only by your family, but by you for everybody else. That's a great service that you bring to everybody, and believe me, it is appreciated, Tyler. I listen to you as I'm on my way getting ready. Before I get into the garden, you give me that positive feel that I can get in this garden and make things grow instead of picking up all these weeds and everything else out of it, for sure. You're my Saturday morning listen.
I help you get through those weeds, but
I know
it's not easy, and
no.
that back is not getting any younger.
No.
I get it. I understand. Thanks, Buck.
Hey, what are we doing tonight? Your dad's going to be a part of this, and you've documented your battle with MS, and what's happening tonight with the Pro Player Foundation?
Yeah, truly excited, and special thank you to our sponsors for making this thing happen, right? You guys know this on radio. There's only so much that you can do without somebody else believing in it. So our MVP sponsors, which are pharmaceutical companies, Biogen and Bristol Myers, and our tailgate sponsors, Sanofi Genzyme, as well as Genentech, we're bridging gaps in the multiple sclerosis community. And the one thing that I've always learned about being an advocate, you need different perspectives. You don't just need mine. So that's why I brought in my father to be on this panel tonight, because he comes from a parent perspective. And then we have another patient advocate from the Latino community, Sarah Garcia. She's an advocate. And we have two of the best. You guys, okay, if you don't know neurology, think of Tom Brady. Think of Drew Brees. Think of some of the greatest to ever play the game. Dr. Edward Fox and Dr. Annette Okai are world leaders in neurology. So you have patient perspectives, a parent perspective, and a doctor perspective. And we're going to bridge the gap in the MS community, specifically for the underserved communities and the Latino as well as the Black community, because there's a lot of awareness that has to be raised and a lot of conversations that have to be had. And I know that I'm a very trustworthy panelist to bring about people together to have a conversation, to answer questions, and to help people get diagnosed with MS earlier. Earlier detection allows you to keep hold of your body. And so that's all I want to do, is be a servant in the community tonight and help people feel like they can defeat the multiple sclerosis that they have.
You know, Tyler, when you talk about MS, it can be very debilitating, and people tend to think of MS, when they hear you talk, when they hear others talk, you're not bedridden. So sometimes that just goes past them. There doesn't seem like to be, you know, if you have MS, there doesn't seem like there's anything that can keep you from doing. Tell us some of the effects that MS has done and what you have to do to overcome that, so people will understand that it's just not something that you got to drink a milkshake for, you'll feel better. Tell them what hurts. Tell them what bothers you. Tell them. I don't think people get that part of it. They just think, oh, Tyler sounds great. He's got a show on Saturday. He must be doing fine.
Yes, and that's the case for a lot. And what people, I want people to know, is what I am is not what once always was. So I have been in a wheelchair. Multiple sclerosis will attack and leave lesions, which are holes on your brain as well as within your spinal cord. It is debilitating. So you see me now, but people have not seen me lose my speech, Buck. I've had to go through speech therapy to learn how to talk. I've had to go through grueling physical therapy to learn how to grip a pen. I've been in a wheelchair, and I've gone from a wheelchair to a cane to walking. And some people, Buck, they don't make it back from the wheelchair. Some people don't get their speech back. I suffer from memory loss issues, but you would never know it. I fake it till I make it. There's also optic neuritis, which is losing sight within your eyes. So things that can change your life in the blink of an eye. And just because you're good one day with MS, I'm relapsing, remitting, it doesn't mean the next day will always look the same. So a lot of times when people hear my voice on Saturday,
right,
Sunday is a hard day to get out of bed for me. You know, so you have the give and the take, and you have to learn how to monitor yourself, how to take care of yourself. And also, Buck, let's be real, medications are not cheap. And so part of our discussion tonight is to learn how to navigate the healthcare system, learn about programs that can help you get the medication you need, the MRIs that you need, and where to navigate and help with costing of those things. But it can take things from you, Buck, in a blink of an eye. And as a male, hey, I also suffered from erectile dysfunction, and I had to start battling those things at the age of 21 when I was diagnosed with MS.
Yeah, that's what they got to hear. It's just that they hear it's crazy, because they hear you, how upbeat you are, and they think, as I said, your Saturday's good, your Sunday's good, and throughout the week, Tyler is sounding wonderful. It's over for him. But as you said, for you, you've been very fortunate. But for others that you're trying to help right now, that's not so much for them.
Right. And let me tell you all something. it is very tough. If I'm speaking to the parents or any family members, you know, you have nieces or nephews, it is hard when you have to tell your children, daddy has to take a nap, he has to stay in bed, or he's in pain, and not be able to do it. And I think that's why it's so amazing that dad is a part of my panel, B&E, because when I was going through my physical therapy, and I believe dad will talk about it tonight, that was when my dad was probably in his worst shape, you know, struggling with his own addiction, problems. And then he would get out of bed and he would drive me to physical therapy. So when I say that my father is somebody who never quits, who is the ultimate competitor, I say those things because he did those things for me. And that's why when you have MS, it's not just your fight. You're going to need your family. You're going to need friends. You're going to have to make your job aware, because it is so much to fight on your own. And so when people look at the panel, they're like, why is dad on there? I'm there to let dad shine a light on the things that he saw and how he was there for me behind closed doors, and some of the most embarrassing, some of the most painful, some of the most grueling times in my life, in my early 20s and mid 20s.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Tyler Campbell, TC Speaks. The panel is tonight, 6 o'clock, talking about MS and an awareness of it. Of course, the central nervous system disease that Tyler deals with, and so many folks do. Tyler, what are the goals tonight that you're looking for, and how can people be a part of this evening? I know you're making it as easy as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. If you guys head to proplayerfoundation.org, it is a virtual event. If you miss the start time, B&E, it's okay. As soon as it's over, we're going to leave it on our webpage, and it will be there till kingdom come. Proplayerfoundation.org, you'll go there. You'll see a countdown clock. You will see the video tab. You just watch there. And the goals are literally to start opening up and having discussions. You know, as a minority person, I was cultured on high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sickle cell anemia, and high blood pressure, like those things, cancer. MS was never a part of the discussion. So when you have those discussions, or when you try to inform your family about the MS, since people don't know it, it's not as seriously taken. And like Buck said, since people may not see it often, people don't get it. And I'm trying to help people with cultivating those discussions amongst the community, trying to help the people who are in underserved, maybe rural communities, and don't know how to get adequate care. We want to have those discussions and reach people abroad, because somebody out there is feeling lonely with MS, or does not know what MS is, or is just having a hard time with the family trying to get them to understand. Those are the questions that we are looking to take care of and help guide people in discussion and where they can get resources.
You know, we thanks for joining us this morning, man. It's hard to believe that you had ever had a time in your life where you couldn't communicate. That's kind of the hardest thing for me to believe about you.
Buck, let me tell you something. My wife is like, can we get that time back? Can you just time, Buck? Can we?
Oh, just take that time that you are blessed with from this point on, brother. Just keep it up.
Keep it up.
Hey, thank you so much.
Love you guys,
love
man.
You too,
love
man.
You guys.
Hey, can I ask you this, Tyler, before we let you go? What is, I know you're also deep in the research for finding a cure for MS. How confident are you that we can beat this thing in your lifetime? Yes.
So here's the deal, and I'll leave you with this, guys. For me, it's when I tell people who are newly diagnosed, or when I tell people that I'm trying to mentor or be with, I tell them this is the best time to have MS. Because if you talk to people who are in the 90s and before, there were no medications, there were no therapies, there were no serious diagnosis. Now, when you get MS, you have options, ladies and gentlemen, and those options are getting better each and every time. There were times when there were just IV medications, when there were needle med therapies. Now you're able to take pills. Things are getting better. They're progressing faster because the rates of MS are getting higher and higher in the world. So we must do something about it. So yes, I believe there will be cures that you can find. I also encourage people and let people know to research your diet, because a lot of what happens with MS, you know, it starts within your gut. And so you've got to also watch what you're putting into your body. Buck, I don't know how much Kool-Aid I had when I was a kid at my grandma's house. But I'm looking back on those times now, but
Ooh, man. And that Cocoa Pops and Sugar Pops and all that good stuff.
I think she would put the whole bag of sugar in there, Buck. Like house party back in the day, man. I'm thinking she's pouring the whole thing.
Sorry you said that about food, because my diet isn't all. I guess those Twizzlers are going to be out tomorrow now. There goes my Twizzlers.
But
Tyler,
but
you're the best, man.
It's going to happen, and I thank you guys for your time. Tune in, everybody. Tune in.
Thank you, man.
ProPlayerFoundation.org. I just retweeted Tyler's tweet. You can follow TC on Twitter, of course, and social media. That is a great and a must follow. And then Real Life Real Talk with TC is every Saturday at noon here on the Horn. He is Tyler Campbell, one of our favorites. And great to hear you, man. Thanks for staying positive, and but also shedding some light on the painful times you've been through with folks. And you're always candid, so thanks for doing that.
Thanks, Ty.
Hey, thank you all. Take care, Isaiah Collier.
There goes a,
see you, buddy.
There you go. What a breath of fresh air he is on a. Anytime you get a chance to talk to Tyler,
absolutely,
you feel better. And obviously, MS is a debilitating thing that he's dealt with. He was diagnosed. I mean, he's playing football at San Diego State University. He's a thriving young athlete, and all of a sudden, he's diagnosed in his early 20s, and the central nervous system and MS disrupts the flow of information within the brain and between the brain and the body, and it, as he said, it's just totally unpredictable, and you're not sure how to deal with it. Here's a text from one of our great listeners. Says, thank you all. My wife has MS, and sometimes think everything is okay because she hides the pain from me and the kids. Thanks for Tyler for talking about
absolutely.
It. That is Tyler Campbell, and ProPlayerFoundation.org is that website. It starts at 6:30 tonight, so check that out. Earl Campbell, his father, will be a part of that along with two tremendous top-end neurologists,
absolutely,
a couple of patients, and so a lot of information and a lot of good conversation will be had tonight in and around that topic. That's a huge buck on to Tyler Campbell on a Buck Off Thursday. We'll come back, continue the buck ons and buck offs, the top stories of the day. Bob Bowlsby and the remaining members of the Big 12 on attack at Texas and Oklahoma. We'll talk more about it. It's B&E with you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Boy, what a scene in Tokyo overnight, or last night in Tokyo, which is this morning here. But Sunisa Lee, the American, wins gold in the women's gymnastics all-round with Simone Biles, of course, watching. She's not going to compete anymore in Tokyo after her issues, but yeah, USA still gets the gold. So you can watch that tonight in prime time. Pretty dramatic scenes. It went to the wire against the Brazilian gymnast, and congratulations to her too, by the way. The runner up is becomes the first gymnast from Latin America to win a medal at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, I think she was number two on in team wise, individuals anyway, which was fantastic. That's fantastic for our team. Really,
you know,
is.
For sure. And, you know, Simone Biles went in as the favorite, but the USA still wins the gold, which is the fifth Olympics in a row that the U.S. has taken that. So congratulations to her. Part of a good day in the swimming pool and on the gymnastics mats for Team USA as the Olympics continue. And part of a good sports day. Buck on to that. Also, buck on and buck off to the day's events. The SEC presidents will meet today and vote to officially invite Texas and Texas A&M to the conference. And we mentioned Bob Bowlsby on the attack yesterday, signifying that the Big 12 is not going to just roll over and let this thing go without a fight to get their money and to make it as difficult as possible for Texas and Oklahoma. Can I play this? Zay, do you have this? Remember, we've had Matt Mosley on the show before. Matt has written and worked in radio in Dallas for a long, long time, and Matt is a Baylor graduate. He was on a podcast with the national radio host Colin Cowherd. And listen to him talking about this is the feelings of some others outside of Texas and Oklahoma. Matt is a Baylor graduate and a fan of the Baylor Bears. Here's what he thinks of Texas leaving for the SEC.
They may be a great brand. What they also are home wreckers. And they screw up everything they join. And the Big 12 gave them everything they possibly could have wanted. Like the Longhorn Network. Nobody else got anything. It's just never enough. The brand may be huge. But you'll get swallowed alive if you go in there and they play like they have in the Big 12, three titles in 25 years.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be in the SEC. We're supposed to, oh my gosh, in the SEC. Sark. But do we all think that Sark is going to show up at Texas and just roll? I don't see it.
Homewreckers.
God, why so bitter?
Well, because Baylor's on the outside looking in now. I mean, when you talk about schools that are going to that are not in an optimal look. I mean, what he said is factual. I mean, Texas has been kind of a bully as a conference member, but because they carry a big stick and they are the brand. And we documented yesterday the TV ratings without a Texas or an Oklahoma playing in a game. I mean, the Big 12 is, you know, on par with Conference USA as far as TV ratings when it doesn't include the Longhorns in a game or Oklahoma in a game. And that's now what Baylor, look, Baylor is proud that they just won a national championship in basketball.
Man, yeah.
I mean, the one thing that is absolutely undeniable about the Big 12 is on the fields and courts of play, it's been a very successful conference athletically, right? I mean, they do well. I mean, it's probably the best basketball conference in America. I mean, last year it surpassed the ACC and the Big 12 as the best, or the Big 10 as the best basketball conference out there when you went from top to bottom. And you know, Baylor wins the national title, and you know, Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State's going to be the first pick tonight. You know, baseball it's a really solid conference top to bottom. We know Texas volleyball is as good as it gets. So, but that's, you know, we always have to separate that from the business side of it. From the business side of it, you know, Texas is a behemoth, and Oklahoma is pretty close, and those were the two that were carrying the entire league. So for Matt or anybody to say, well, they got the Longhorn Network. Well, ESPN gave them the Longhorn Network to keep them from going to Fox, to keep them from going to the West Coast and becoming a Pac-12 property. That was what was worth to ESPN to keep the Longhorns in the fold, was to give them their own network. Obviously,
they'll have to earn everything they get once they're in this next
that
conference.
Is correct.
Everybody understands that. I mean,
that all changes in the Southeast. That's part of the history of today.
Well, yeah, and expectations are always high here. And some of the expectations in the Big 12 football part of it really didn't get fulfilled. It really didn't. He's right. Three Big 12 championships, it is what it is. But expectations are still going to be high. They're always high at Texas. And you just have to get that opportunity, fulfill them. But, sorry, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you got to go. They've been holding you up, Baylor and everybody else, for years and years and years. You got to the point even this year where you're going to try to give them a little bit extra. Maybe you should have done that, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. They've been holding up your whole conference for years and years. Maybe it shouldn't have been an even split before. But now they're gone. Yeah, you're going to take the shots in a way. I hate the fact that they're going too, but I'm going to embrace it that they're going to be in the highest level of football there is. My expectations are that, you know, I know what fans think. What's new, pussycat? My expectations, they better go there and compete. That they're not going to be afraid. They're going to compete. They got to show up to games on Saturday, and then you'll find out. Yep. That's all you have to do. You're going to find out.
They've got to go compete with the best. And there's no question. Look, if you go way back to the formation of the Big 12, when, you know, what was left of the Southwestern Conference, and the Big 8 formed the Big 12 with the Lost Odds, and Donnie Duncan at Oklahoma really forming the league. Nebraska was an original member. I mean, you know, since those days, I mean, and by the way, Texas has not been a big fan of Baylor being included in that from the beginning. I think we all know the political side of that.
But they've been holding them up and helping them out.
Sure.
When you think about it.
But you know, animosity between the two schools has been long standing. You know, Texas, and a lot of folks would say that Ann Richards, the governor, was hugely influential in getting Baylor in.
But you don't have to pick out a couple. You can pick out about four or five of them. The animosity is huge.
Well, I mean, Baylor, because I don't think Texas is good with Texas Tech. They're, you know, TCU, whatever. But Baylor, Texas never really wanted Baylor in the new Big 12. I mean, when the Southwest Conference dissolved and the formation of the Big 12 was, the idea was Baylor wouldn't be a part of it. And political forces put them in it. And they've been nothing but a problem as far as scandals go the whole time. I mean, they've had the you know, three major scandals, huge scandals, including Art Briles most recently, since they've, you know, in the last 30 years, they've had two huge basketball scandals and, of course, Art Briles. So, you know, that animosity is for sure. And Matt Mosley's a Baylor guy, so he doesn't like Texas. And, look, TCU, I mean, TCU's got the bragging rights on the football field, too, with Gary Patterson against Texas in the Big 12. And now that's true. And so there's going to be hard feelings. This is a divorce. And, you know, Texas is doing what Texas thinks is best for them and Oklahoma. And let's be, you know, put Oklahoma in this conversation, too. Oklahoma's been trying to get out of the Big 12 for a while. They've looked to move to greener pastures, including the SEC in the past, but they couldn't go without Texas. And now finally, with the new leadership at Texas and Jay Hartzell and Kevin Elty, Texas is willing to do it. And here we go. But I mean, the idea of, I mean, why did Nebraska leave the Big 12? Because they felt like Texas was the bully and the boss, and Texas A&M and Missouri left for the same reasons. And, you know, Texas isn't going to be able to be that kind of bully in the SEC. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you're in the conference with other bullies, other big dogs. You are playing with Alabama, for crying out loud, and Georgia, and you know, University of Florida and LSU. I mean, these are big-time universities.
You'll have to prove yourself on the field of play. Just that's what it is, and you're going to be with the best of them.
But
so.
You're also going to have to swallow some ego in the conference room, too, when it's time to meet as a conference.
Well, you're going to hope you can,
yeah.
But Texas has a real hard time doing that.
Yeah, well, that's going to be as big a challenge as the other part for me.
Sure.
Is, look, you know A&M is going to... You mean the statement from the Texas A&M president on Sunday about, you know, one of the things we value most in this conference and any league is unity and being unified and you know, all for one and one for all.
So unified you didn't know what was going on. That's unity.
Yeah.
You guys had no clue what was going on for 6 months. Well, none of you.
But I do think it helps that now Texas, I mean, in the Big 12 or even the formation of the original Big 12, I mean, Texas just swung such a bigger stick than anybody else. I mean, they just were such a big brand in a conference mostly of smaller brands. Well, now they're going to a conference full of big brands just like themselves.
And yeah. Right now, to me, Oklahoma will hold the upper hand when it comes to where they are in their football program.
Oh, sure.
That's why you have a new coach here. That's what you have to look forward to. You know, when they tell me don't be a pussycat, I do love the competition. And, you know, that's I was a Big 12 guy, but now I'm an SEC guy, and now the competition is ratcheted up, and you have to be prepared for it. And it's not about being scared. It's about being, how long will it take you? Now, you've got another year that you're going to be in this group. I just don't want it to go any further than a year. Hell, I don't know where they stand even in the last year of the conference that they're in. We'll wait and see. We have a brand new coach.
Well, look, I mean,
it's a brand new coach here.
Stop talking
about the players, and we got the right players. You got a brand new coach.
Well, look about it.
So,
it's not, you know, with everything going on, it's dizzying the last 10 days. But at the same time, you know, before all of this, we were at Big 12 Media Days, and, you know, we talked a lot. I mean, this is a big year in the Big 12, or was supposed to be, with Oklahoma as a potential number one team, and Iowa State as a Cinderella story, and, you know, TCU with a bunch of returning starters and a returning quarterback. Texas, it's still the same conversation for this year's football team. They are somewhere three, four, you know, what are they? Third, fourth, fifth? That is yet to be determined.
We're still looking to see where they are in the conference here.
But that goes without saying that Texas needs to step it up in football to become a big dog on par with what goes on in the Southeastern Conference. That's 100% fair. But it's also fair to say that Texas just won the Director's Cup, and every other sport in their program is ready to walk into the SEC and compete right away. I mean, the volleyball program takes a backseat to nobody. The baseball program is ready to go head-to-head with anybody. Go on down the line. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Track and field.
It's a perfect time to do it. Can't be any more perfect.
And you know, basketball with Chris Beard, I mean, he's going to have a top-three team this year. Now, what will the Rush look like when they enter the SEC? I don't know. But it's about football, getting on track, and Steve Sarkisian being the right coach. I think Sark would tell you that the advantages that come with actually being able to recruit to now being in that SEC will be huge for him, to be able to attract the top players, not just in Texas, but in the country, to come play here in the new stadium and everything that's going on there.
And
but
we're all going to love
it. You've got to prove it.
Yeah, around here, we're all going to love the talk. But in the SEC, they're going to be looking to see what you do this year. Can you walk the walk? I still don't believe that's not going to happen in a year. Kidding me? There's a lot to be. We haven't even talked about the football part of it, the actual playing of games and what the team needs to do.
Well, I think we'll know a lot more about how that will look after we get to see Steve Sarkisian and this coaching staff for a year.
That's right.
And you'll know where you stack up because, as our friend Peter Burns from the SEC Network told us this morning, he thinks if Oklahoma were in the Big 12, the SEC this year, they'd be the second best team.
I believe that,
in
too.
In the SEC. So, I mean, Texas can measure themselves against a team that takes a backseat to nobody this year in Oklahoma. And Iowa State is a top-10 team for most with Matt Campbell. So, and that's, I mean, there's so much unknown with that team. We'll get to see them. We had 4 years to determine that Tom Herman was not getting it done and taking it in a good direction. We'll get to see Sark, this staff, how he operates this year. And then I think we'll have a much stronger barometer and gauge on just how far behind they are when it comes time to join the Southeastern Conference, without a doubt. And that Arkansas game week two takes on new significance. That all of a sudden could become an annual game. When they play Arkansas week two, that could become a game beyond that. They play every single year with the Razorbacks as a conference game.
Better not lose that first one, though.
Better not.
Sunbelt. Yuck.
Comes Louisiana. 9-point underdogs, the not raging enough. Cajuns are.
Not enough.
Yeah, so just so you not know, Bucky enough. Is putting up an early gold star lock. And so if you're
10,000 unit play, if you're done.
If you're saying it strongly on the radio when you go to Pennsylvania next week.
It's happening.
You need to put a big futures bet on
that.
Oh, no,
there is a huge futures bet on that. You
bring the ticket.
I'm bringing it back with me. I'll have it in hand. There is no doubt about
Texas
that.
Texas minus 9.
Yeah, I don't care if it's 10.5. That shouldn't happen. It's not going to happen.
I love it.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
Will not happen.
When we come
Get
back.
Get on board. Let's go. Come on.
Get on board.
Here we
Get
go.
Get on board.
Here we go.
Well, we come back. We will tee it up for the rest of the day, live, local, and digital here on the Horn. Reset the top stories of the morning. A couple more buck-ons and buck-offs on our way out, too. It's B&E with you.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Light the Tower coming up top of the hour. Jeff Howe in control. I'm not sure who Jeff's guest host will be today, but Snoop Daniel will be there. You know that. And Snoop, of course, will
have me.
Oh, it's you today.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
So you'll be part of Light the Tower with the great Jeff Howe today and the great Bucky Godbolt. Thanks for doing that. And you'll be hanging out with Snoop, and Snoop Daniel will have Flex ATX tonight. 7 to 9. That'll be all the high school coverage you need. You know what? You know where Snoop will be on Monday morning? He's already told me he's going to be out at Hayes High School for their first football practice at Hayes as part of his, you know, high school football coverage. You know, we talk about football. Longhorns report next week to begin their fall camp or summer camp. It's still summer. And then high school football gets going, too. So Flex ATX tonight, 7 to 9, with all of your high school
start
football
thinking about that. I start thinking about being around Mark Honig again.
Do you get, like, hives?
Start a little bit. creepy crud. Start getting that feeling. I started itching all over thinking about being in there with him in a booth again.
So I was doing some math in the break. And so we talked about Bob Bowlesby on the attack yesterday, attack mode for sure. And Pete Thamel at Yahoo, I thought, had a good story about this, of just how unprecedented the attack was yesterday from Bob Bowlesby, not only sending a letter of cease and desist letter to ESPN, but also doing major interviews and just unfiltered his belief that he said this, Bob Bowlesby, what pushed me over the top was a couple of days ago when it became known to me that ESPN had been working with one or more of our with other conferences, even providing incentives for them to destabilize the Big 12 and approach our members about moving away and providing inducements for the conference to do that. And again, this
pretty
is,
heavy-duty accusation, and if you don't prove that to be fact, which ESPN says no, that's not true, then
well, I think there's a gray
aren't
area.
You
here.
Liable? Are you liable for putting a TV network like that?
Well, I
out
mean,
there
look,
like
this,
that.
To me, I don't say it's only natural, but if you're look, last year the Big 12 distributed roughly $350 million in revenue to their 10 schools, right? So Baylor got a check for $35 million from the. From ESPN, their media package, $35 million. Texas got 35. Everybody got 35, right? Well, without Texas and Oklahoma, those schools look at it and say, well, what's it going to be beyond that? Well, if Texas and Oklahoma are out, I mean, their take every year could be down to $15 million. I mean,
yeah, that's not the question. Aren't you liable to make statements the way he's making it about a? I mean,
I'm just saying. Yeah. But here's my point on Bob Bowlesby. These schools have to figure out their finances. I mean,
yeah,
they've built all new facilities at Baylor and all new facilities at TCU and Texas Tech. And I mean, if $35 million all of a sudden is going to go down to $15, that's a huge hit to the budget. I mean, that's a massive hit. So are they talking to the AAC about what the – and is ESPN providing numbers to say, look, guys, here's what the future looks like as an eight-team league, or even if you add some schools, here's going to be what we would pay for media rights. You know, but you know what? In the American Athletic Conference, if, you know, TCU and, you know, West Virginia, if you guys rolled into the AAC, this is what it might look like, which would be more because, you know, AAC's already got Cincinnati and Memphis and Houston, SMU, you know, Central Florida, South Florida, that maybe, you know, are they meddling or are they just providing numbers to these schools that, guys, here's what this is going to look like.
Well,
in
you
got to
find out if they're truly meddling, then that's a problem. But if they really haven't, I mean, I understand what you're saying, the fact that, yeah, you got to be doing it. I believe that too. But boy, the unprecedented thing is that you're saying that against a major, you're saying that against Disney.
Your partner. your partner.
And yeah, what if you, what if that is proven not to be true? Then who's liable to get sued in this? The Big 12? The ones who are getting money for us, they're liable to just walk away with absolutely nothing. That's what's unprecedented about it. That's going over the top. That guy went scorched earth yesterday saying. And don't you have to prove that?
Yeah, he wouldn't provide the evidence, but he said it's. I mean, clearly he's heard from the schools that this is what ESPN's been telling us. I mean, it's not hard to figure out that trail. That if ESPN,
yeah, I mean, we can give all the numbers of what.
But ESPN's going. They said there's not merit here. But are ESPN meddling? Or are they just providing information on numbers and what their future financial number looks like in this scenario or that scenario or this scenario? And certainly they've got to start planning for that with, you know, what's going to happen today when the SEC officially invites.
It's certainly in meddling if you're going out yourself and asking the questions of Texas Tech. I don't call that meddling. I call that find out where I stand.
Well, I mean, as Brian Davis said with us this morning, if you're Kirby Hocutt at Texas A&M or Texas Tech, and you're the president at Texas Tech, if you're not out trying to figure all this out, you're just going to sit back and say, "Oh, good old Bob will handle it. Bob Bowlesby will handle it. We got it. I don't need to do anything. I'm on vacation."
He's going scorched earth.
Hell no, they're not. I mean, those schools are doing their own due diligence in real time. So is that the TV networks or in the other conferences meddling, or are they just letting them know this is what this would look like? I mean, obviously there's interference there because all those schools are trying to figure. I mean, Texas Tech has reportedly been in talks with at least conversations about the Pac-12.
They had to be.
You have to be. Well, that's against the contract that Bob Bowlesby's talking about. I mean, for them to even be talking, and clearly for Texas to have been talking to the SEC along the way, would be interference with that contract. But at the same time, that's happened, and that's moving forward. But as Bowlesby said in one of his interviews, he says, "I can tell you the reason is they want to destroy our conference. They want to help OU and Texas get to the SEC faster and for less money." So, which is true, because ESPN's going to be paying the freight regardless. And remember, to that $35 million number, the reports already, the early estimates, Texas into the SEC within the first 3 years, that the total package could be worth $1.3 billion, Buck, to the 16 schools.
I'm probably going to do my due diligence and
billions.
Yeah, and if I'm the have-nots, you'd be stupid not to, as the president or the AD or anybody else affiliated with that other university, the other universities. Got to take care of yourself.
No, let's hope. If Bob Bowlesby can prove that, this thing will end up in court. For sure.
Don't try to be holding this up for 4 more years now. No!
I don't think that'll happen. It's just going to come down to how much it'll cost to get out.
That's right.
I mean, it's a divorce. Can I get out for less, or is it going to go all the way? Is she getting half, Buck? Is she getting half? Or is she getting all of it?
Oh, come on, Pat Mahomes. Think about what you're doing here.
Right.
Come on, Pat.
Hey, Buck, enjoy Light the Tower.
There you go.
Appreciate you doing that with Jeff Howe. Remember, Tyler Campbell tonight, proplayerfoundation.org is that website. Learn more at our website at hornfm.com as well. If you missed any of our conversation this morning, great one with Peter Burns of the SEC Network, Brian Davis of the Statesman, Tyler Campbell, TC Speaks. Isaiah, great stuff. Buck, awesome as always. Happy Buck Off Thursday.
See you
we'll
in the
do
morning.
It again on a Friday morning at 6 a.m.